You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
To Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Celicia Thomas. And you know what? I'm beaming from ear to ear. My mouth, my cheeks already hurt from smiling so much because this gorgeous human who just popped up on my Zoom screen right now, she is live with us. She is a fashion designer, and y'all, she just broke the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest afro. Please help me welcome Simone Imani.
Thank you for having me, Celicia.
Oh, thank you for coming. I'm so excited to talk to you. You look so beautiful. Is your hair in a puff right now?
Yeah, it's in like a high pineapple puff, and I had like a fro yesterday, so it's extra big right now.
Seriously, your pineapple puff is goals. I'm like, it's so huge. Are you in New York right now?
Yes, I'm in Brooklyn.
All right, come on, Brooklyn. I'm in way up. In Upper Manhattan. I'm so glad to talk to you today. I've got a bajillion questions. I'm like, where do I even, okay, can I start with, have you always been natural?
No, I haven't always been natural. So when I was younger, I think I was natural for about, up until around junior high school. So maybe around the age 13, that's when I got my first perm. And then had straight hair for about, I guess, 10 years, and then decided to return back to natural.
Okay. All right. So I'm sorry. I'm just like, I have chills because I'm thinking about those years of when you had straight hair. Did you have any idea? Like, was your hair long growing up? Was it big growing up when you had it natural?
Growing up, I know my mother, she would spend a lot of time like combing my hair. We had like a really big wide tooth comb, and I would regret or dread wash days. So it was, I think for her, like it was a lot to deal with. And then I think that's why she was so open to me going for like my first
straight hair.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering, like, and maybe you did. Like, did you have any idea of your curl potential earlier on? No.
Not at all. Because when I was in, like, high school, junior high with straight hair, like, I was just worried about, like, having bone straight hair. I would have never thought that I would go back natural, actually.
And then, so when you were about 23, you said, like, 10 years later, mm-hmm. Have you just been natural ever since?
Yep.
I don't know how old you are, and don't worry, I won't ask. I'm like, I have no idea. You look fantastic. You could be 24 right now, or you could be 35. Like, you look like you're on your grown woman-ish. So I'm like, all of the things. And so Guinness Book of World Records, I would not even think, okay, is that a thing? Like, do you have to be nominated? Was it your idea? Did you apply? Like, how did you even think to be like, yes, I'm going to, who holds the record? I'm going to wipe her out. Like,
yeah, I think I had the same feeling. Like, I didn't know it was a thing. Like, I read the book growing up, and my grandma always had a copy, so I would go through it with my cousin. But I think it started from me being on my natural journey, and people just, like, their responses to my hair. And I just one day, I was like, okay, let's Google this. Like, I just Googled largest afro, and it came up. And I saw the previous record holder, and at that time, her hair is beautiful, and it really inspired me. At that time, I was like, my hair will never be that. It's nowhere near that, but it's just something that I had in the back of my mind. I think I'm not sure how far along in my natural journey I was at that time, but it's something that stayed with me, and I was super doubtful about it. The whole process for me took about 2 years. Because I just had so much doubt in my mind.
2 years? Wait, 2 years to get over the confidence or 2 years to grow it?
So 2 years from me applying to Guinness. So I didn't, they reached out, they did not reach out to me. I reached out to them. So it's like an initial application process. What's the record? Why do you want to beat it? And then that took about 3 months for me to get a response from them. They was like, yes, like this is a big category for us. And then once they responded with that level of excitement, I kind of like shied away from it. Like, I don't know if I'm ready for this. So 2 years.
What?
Yeah.
Two years
from that initial application to me actually recording the process to submit to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So people want to know, like, is it hot? Is it heavy? Like, how is it in your day-to-day? Like, I have curls. I don't have as many curls as you do, girlfriend. But, like, in your day-to-day, is it a lot? Like, does it feel like, I don't know if you've ever worn a wig before. I've worn a lot of wigs. What does it feel like, Simone?
Yeah, I got you. So it's only heavy for me when it's wet. When I have a full afro, it's not heavy at all. But when it's down, like it's kind of like in the way and you can't do certain things. And so when it's like that, like I know it's there. Like I'm very aware of it, as I'm sure like other people are. So that's why I opt for something like a pineapple like this, so I can like move my head without any restriction or anything like that. When it's not in an afro, I normally have like twists or something, or like a more defined bow, and it doesn't get in the way or anything like that. But
That's my next question, because okay, so I started this podcast because I have so many questions. I'm like, I have been going natural for 3 years and I'm like trying to figure all the things out and I don't know the answers. So I'm like, let me just find my curl crushes and be like, how do I do this? Okay. So I know I have like a bun in right now, but I have like a very textured afro, and one of the problems that I come up with, or like one of the things that I'm trying to solve, is if I have my hair down for a full day, out and down, it dries out so quickly. And the next day, it's like a brittle bush.
Yeah.
So how do you combat that? I would imagine that you don't wear your afro out every day, or do you? Like,
No, I don't wear my afro every day. But it's funny that you say that, because even how I'm... How many years am I? About 9 years now natural, and I'm still figuring things out today. So it's funny that you say that. So when I have my hair out like a full day, and I know like New York is very humid no matter the time of year, or like if it's raining, depending on what I want for my hair, like if I want that very full luminous fro, like I'll go out in the rain and wait for the humidity to tighten it up, because I like that. When it's like bigger, it's kind of like it moves a lot, but the humidity really tightens it up. To combat it, I would say just keep it covered, keep it moisturized. One of the things, I'm really bad at tying my hair down at night. I'm really bad at moisturizing. Like it's a process for me. I'm very much like a low maintenance natural. Like I'll fall asleep without a scarf on and forget to moisturize. But,
oh my god!
I'm working on it. It's a process. It's not the end of the world, as you can see.
Right.
I have like a few products. So I'm a fashion designer, and I have a few things that will specifically help with, like, I'm trying to introduce like headwear into the line. So for days when like I forget to tie down my hair, like I'm coming up with two things that just make it easier. Like it's not, you just have to go with it. Like if you forget one day, just remember the next. It's not the end of the world.
Wow. I'm like so excited. I saw some of your pieces. I'm like, get it. Is that your full time? Like that's
So now it is, yes. So full time, I'm just fully focused on everything that comes with the Guinness title and fashion design. My education is in international business, and most of my previous jobs have been finance related. So
I'm sorry. You are the definition of a badass. Okay. And I'm like, I'm so grateful that you're into fashion design, because like you've got so much hair, and who better to design things that can, what we can do with our curls. Like there are so many hats that I want that I'm like, yeah, my hair's not going to fit in that. Like
hats have been out of the question for me, like for a long time. I can't do hats. Like I'll do earmuffs in the winter. Or
maybe a visor, maybe. Yeah,
exactly. Or like hoods, like when I look for jackets, like I have to make sure the hood is big enough. So
right. And that is something that I've always loved. I love the look, even when my hair wasn't big. It's like a big hood. It's very like, oh, who's under there? We don't know, especially if I have a mask and sunglasses on. Okay, can you walk me through your wash day? How long does it take? What's the process?
Okay, wash day, let's see, coming straight out of this style, I would probably take it down and like give it a little preconditioner, just to soften things up, and then once I'm in the shower, really focus on detangling. I do the four sections just to make sure that it's manageable. Very little sulfate-free shampoo.
Just very little?
Very little for me, yes. Just getting the roots once or twice. Maybe like the one time naturals ever listen to like quarter size or dime size. Like I think I would use a quarter size of shampoo, because for me, I just feel like it dries me out.
Okay.
And then I use a ton of conditioner. So I use, Aussie has a moist line. So I use their 3-Minute Miracle Deep Conditioner. And I can't wash my hair without that. So that's what I use to detangle. It has a lot of slip and it just works very well for me. I think
you deep condition every time you do wash day.
Yeah.
And it's called, what is it called?
Aussie. It's called Aussie 3-Minute Miracle Moist.
Oh, Aussie.
Aussie, yeah.
Okay, sorry, I'm like trying to spell it in my mind. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, so that, and then I also use their normal conditioner, and that just like helps me detangle, it helps me define, and then I twist it back before coming out of the shower. So that full process, depending on like how big the fro is, like right now I feel like my next wash day in shower would be an hour. And then I come out of the shower.
Come on, hour. Jeez Louise.
I come out of the shower and I detangle a little bit more. I apply my Curl Enhancing Smoothie. Shea Moisture has a product that I really like. I also use that every time.
I use that one too.
Yeah, it's really good for me for definition. And then maybe a little bit of castor oil. I started using castor oil recently. I like jojoba oil. Those are the main two that I go to. And then just redoing the twists, making sure that they're moisturized, defined. And then I use my favorite gel is Eco Styler.
Oh, okay.
Their olive oil gel. And I just combine those three just to get the twists. I do like 4 twists or 8 if I want it a little bit more defined when it's dry. And that's my twist out. My hair dries in a twist out.
Wait, sometimes you just do 4?
Yeah, so just 4 quick ones if I'm not looking for any style in particular. Nice. Yeah. Or like 8 is more like, okay, I have more definition. I'm probably going to do like a half up, half down style once it's dry. And then depending on when I wash my hair, so if I wash it at night and I'm done by 10, when I wake up, it may be dry or it may not be. So it can take like up to 12 hours to dry.
Wait, you do the air dry?
Yeah, air dry. I don't
know. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I already know that. Like, you're like, yeah. It takes me a full week and a half. And then it's time for wash day again.
Yeah, so I like to air dry. Or if I'm in a rush, I might use the diffuser on a cool setting if I want like a quick throw situation. But yeah, I try to stay away from heat as much as possible. And when I do, which is not often, a lot of heat protectant.
A lot of what?
Heat protectant.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm missing that step in my own process. Oh my goodness, Alicia, get it together. Okay. I have a couple questions about what you just said. All right. So you started with a pre-poo. I've never done that. So a pre-conditioner, you said?
Yes.
And on dry hair or wet hair?
So I probably spray it down a bit with a spray bottle.
Okay.
So that the conditioner can get in there. Like, I know that's what I'm going to do after this because it's just really like big and definitely tangled. So the pre-conditioner helps me with that.
And it can be any conditioner, or it needs to be like, it needs to say pre-conditioner, like.
It can be, for me, in my experience. So okay. I'll use my 3-Minute Miracle.
Got it. Okay.
That's my favorite like detangling tool. It has a lot of slip. It works for me. Yeah.
All right. And I love this. Thank you for saying that, because what works for one person might not work for the next. It is, you have found your process, and you even mentioned that you're still learning about your hair. And so I think that is so important, that just because something works for anybody who's listening, mm-hmm. Just because something works for one person, like, it might be very different for you. Like, mm-hmm. So
absolutely. I've recommended the 3-Minute Miracle to like a couple of friends, and I'm like, how was it? Didn't you love it?
You're like, I hate it.
I'm like, oh yeah, natural hair is very different. You just have to find what works for you. And I feel like I'm very lucky in that I found my products very early on, and I've just stuck with
them. Yes. We'll be right back right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, another question about your process, because I'm like, I might be mixing up the order of things. So, I shampoo, I conditioner. Sometimes I deep conditioner in the shower. It sounds like you deep condition every time. And then you mentioned that you have the castor oil that you've been using lately. Do you put the oil on first before the curl enhancing smoothie or the eco gel, or is that the last step?
So I want to say I like to do it second, but I honestly, when I'm twisting my hair, it happens. Like, I might forget and be like, oh, oil. So it can come. So I like to do the curl enhancing, and then sometimes the gel, then the oil.
Oh.
Or sometimes the oil, then the gel.
Really? So, you just mix it up.
Yeah, I'm not very like, oh, I have to do this is specifically every single time. I'm very much a laid back natural, but as long as the products are on there and they're mixing together nicely, that's another problem I had early on, like finding a gel that worked well with the Shea Moisture Curl Enhancing Smoothie product. Like, I would think that my hair was gonna look great, and then it dries and it's just flakes everywhere.
Oh,
so that was trial and error. Figured it out.
Okay. And so also, like, I feel really encouraged that when you said that sometimes you just do 4 twists, I'm like, Man, I be like putting 25 twists in my head.
I would never.
You're like, I ain't got time for all of that. And then you let it air dry in those twists. Mm-hmm. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So one other question that I have is when you have your afro, okay. When I go outside with my afro, first of all, before I go outside, I'm like, all right, I got the shape. I'm looking good. All right, let's do this thing. And then I'm outside for 2 seconds and the wind is like, I have other plans. So does yours keep the shape? How do you, or do you get it to stay how you wanted it to? Like, how do you?
That actually happened to me last weekend. So I picked it out nicely. The shape is beautiful in the house. One thing I do use when I want like a lot of volume, a little hairspray helps. I just flip my head and like my middle section, it's very loose curls. It's very wavy. I think a lot of naturals have this issue. So it's hard for it to stand up in the middle. So I like to spray it a little bit. That helps, but as soon as...
I'm sorry. I haven't used hairspray since I literally thought that was a white girl thing. I've not even thought about using it on my own.
Mm-hmm. Holding spray can be a friend in moderation.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Thank you for saying that.
For the environment. But yeah, I used the hairspray when I got outside. The wind just took over. So I think having natural hair requires a lot of patience. So as the wind is blowing my hair, like me knowing I did all this preparation, I used this hairspray and it's not holding up to the wind. At that point, you just have to laugh. You're like, okay, yeah. It's natural hair, you just have to let it do its thing. And the earlier I learned that, the better it was for me. And those are the days, like when your hair, you think your hair is looking crazy and wild.
Yeah.
Over the days, you get the most compliments. Like, wow, your hair is amazing. And I'm like, really? Because
I feel nuts.
And, like, shook it out, and I think it looks crazy. So
I'm like, I'm over here. I'm getting my confidence in this pandemic because I'm like, I can stay inside all day and then get it to and get it to look exactly how I want to look and not have to worry about the elements and everything. But eventually life will go back to where we're outside more than just like an hour. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm looking, Simone, I'm searching, I'm peering under the covers for the confidence to where it's like it's doing what it wants. Do you have stories of, first of all, is that confidence like does it come naturally now when you walk out? Because I know that when we walk out with our hair being as God designed it, just out of our head, mm-hmm. it attracts a lot of attention.
Yes.
And I'm terrified. Do you feel that at all? Or is it just liberating? Is it free? And that's my first question. I'll mm-hmm. ask the next one after.
So absolutely. Having natural hair is definitely a boost of confidence. I know when I had straight hair, like I was getting my hair done every 2 weeks, whether it was getting a perm and then going back for the wash and set and your touch up. Like I was very concerned with like, my side part, is it straight? My hair has to be tucked behind my ear this way, or my ends have to be bumped. It was very much like everything needed to be in place. Having natural hair, I think initially my concerns were like going to work, like, is this neat? Like, I know like people are expecting, like, I had one job my full transition, so I literally went from straightening my hair through my transition to cutting off the ends to having like textured hair now, and like the response was amazing. They're like, Simone, we love this look. But in my mind, I'm like, okay, they like it, but I have to make sure that it's neat and it can't be too big, this is big enough. But once I got out of that phase, like there are days that I wake up, I do a shake and I'm out of the house and it looks good to me. And whoever else has an issue with it, that's none of my business. So it's definitely like a high level of confidence that came from me transitioning back to natural. And it works. Like,
wow.
It really works.
Do you have any crazy stories? Or, not crazy stories, but any stories of, like, any, I don't know, out of the box reactions that you have got, whether it was when you were beginning to embrace it, or even now, it's like the biggest afro in the world. Like, do people, like, I don't know, stare, or are they rude? Like, what are, obviously you get compliments, but mm-hmm. do you get any of the other stuff?
I used to get some of the other stuff. I had one lady at one of my previous jobs, like, she meant no harm, and I can tell that she meant no harm, but once we finished our conversation, I was just like, wow. So she goes, I was fairly new to the job, and she goes to me, she's like, your hair is just different every day. And I was like, oh, thank you. And then she says, it reminds me of somebody. Don't you know that cartoon character from The Simpsons? And I was like, no. And I'm thinking she's talking about Marge. And I'm like, okay, cool, whatever, Marge. She goes, no. She goes, oh, I got it. She goes, Sideshow Bob. And then I didn't know the character by name. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, have a good night. And then I go on my phone. And I'm
like, you look it up. Who is this? Who is Sideshow Barge?
Sideshow Bob. So basically, I guess his hair is like in a pineapple style, and it's just very textured. And I'm just like,
oh,
I'm just like, I don't think she meant it in a bad way, but still, okay. Like,
No, lady, I just looked it up right now. I'd be like, excuse me, I'm gonna need you to come back over here. We need to have a talk.
Yeah, but yeah, that was a funny story to share with my. Guess who this lady compared my hair to today? But just things like that, or then just people just staring and just like kind of like frowning their face, and it's just like,
oh. You're like, that's your problem, it's not mine. I love that. What was that?
I said it's not my business, like how anyone else feels about my hair.
It's really beautiful to listen to you, Simone, and to watch you, because I can look at you and tell that you really do stand in your confidence. First of all, I mean, it's effing gorgeous. So that's number one. But this is general, like the way a person feels about themselves, it really does come through. You could be the most beautiful girl in the world, and if you are ugly on the inside, it comes out. And you could be kind of like not symmetrical and not cute, but if you feel like you're beautiful, then everybody else is kind of like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but like, what a perfect combination when you are gorgeous.
Aw, thank you.
On the inside and the outside, it really is just like, do your thing. Do your freaking thing.
I'll try.
And it gives other people permission, whether like you mean to do that or not, but it gives other people permission to also be their most liberated, free selves as well.
Yeah, I feel like the best story since the record was released, like I have people from all over the world, like, I just went natural, you inspire me, like that really touches me, like people in Cuba or Brazil, and I'm just like, wow, this is like, I don't know, the whole process has been exciting for me, and like I've made sure to like feel my emotions, like take time out to think about how I feel and what this means for myself and my family. But like messages like that, they make me really emotional, because when I first transitioned, like I had no idea I would have the largest afro. Like,
that's so cool.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you mentioned like Cuba and all these places. Like, may I ask what your, I know that you live in Brooklyn, but like, mm-hmm. where are you from? What is your racial makeup?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my mom, she's from Trinidad. She came to this country when she was 16, and she met my father in Brooklyn. So I'm Trinidadian American.
Right on. Oh, I love that. We're going to cut for a short ad break. Can we talk about your diet?
Yeah, sure. Not
what?
Are you
vegan?
Yes. So I've been vegan for 3.5 years. It's something that was not planned. It happened instantaneously. I was hearing a lot of buzz about the documentary What the Health at one of my previous jobs. And I said, okay, let me check out what everyone's talking about. And I was watching the documentary. It was pretty typical things that most people already know. But I was actually on my phone, not even really paying attention to it. And I looked up and there was just a scene in a slaughterhouse that just, it turned me, like, that moment. I don't even think I watched the rest of the documentary. I was just like, I cannot do it. And this is me, like, I think the week before my mom made me food, like, my favorite foods were, like, oxtail, curry goat, like, very much meat heavy. From that moment, the next morning I went to work, I'm like Googling vegan places to eat. Like, I was just like, I cannot do what I've been doing. So
wow, that's hard, because when you grow up eating meat, because I absolutely watched the same documentary as you and had a similar, not the same, reaction. It was like, whew, this is a lot. Yeah. I'm going to be vegan. I'm going to be vegetarian. Yeah. Well, we can have the sea animals in there. Yeah. Okay. But, like, it definitely, has an effect. How were you able to, like, make that switch, though? Because when you like the taste of meat, it's just, it's hard. It's like.
Definitely when you come from, like, a cultural background like mine, like, it's customary that we eat a lot of meat. But I would say for me, at the beginning, it wasn't, it had nothing to do with, like, the animals or the types of meat. The scene that I looked up on, me, I don't know, I'm a person who, I don't like to see blood, and I don't like to see things like pus. And the scene I looked up on, there was a huge amount of pus, and the pus is what made me vegan. Now, today, like, I care about animals. When I'm thinking about, like, fashion and making new purchases, I'm being very intentional about opting for vegan leather, things like that. But at the start of it, it was just that pus scene.
Like, I'm gagging even just thinking about it.
That's the feeling that I had, and that's what did it for me at the end of the day. And then just, like, learning, I was able to learn about, like, I started cooking more once I became vegan, because that first day that I went out to look for lunch, I spent, like, $25, and normally I would get, like, an $8 special for lunch. So I'm like, okay, I need to learn how to do this in a more economic way. So it's just like, the more you go into it, like, the more you learn and the more comfortable you are with it. There are meat substitutes. I wasn't interested in meat substitutes when I first became vegan, like, just doing, like, the veggies, the beans, the rice. But then I was able to, like, explore, like, working with tofu or, like, the vegan bacon, the different veggie patties and things.
Okay. And all right. So what I'm wondering is, and you can absolutely speak on this. Mm-hmm. Did you see, one way or the other, did you see a difference in your hair health when you switched your diet, or was it the same?
So I got this question recently and I never really thought about it, but thinking back to when I did have my permed hair, my hair would always be about brush back length.
About what?
Bra strap length. On your bra strap. Now, like, my hair is, like, waist length, and it's almost like it's grazing, what is it, the tailbone length? I don't know the different lengths. Like, you would think that I would know, like, the lengths of the hair, like, the hair textures. Like, I'm just, like,
I'm figuring it out, like I said.
So, yeah, I do see more growth retention. Now that I'm vegan, my hair breaks a lot less. And this is just in the last couple years.
So wow.
It definitely contributes. That vegan diet, vitamins, water intake. And I also want to mention, like, low manipulation. Like, a lot of people, they have to have, like, a different style. Like, I rarely style my hair. Like, I'm like a lazy natural. So I feel like that has worked for me, though, because I'll rock a pineapple for like a week if I'm not going anywhere and I twist my hair after washing it, it dries. Like, I'll leave those twists in for a week. Like, I don't play around a lot in my hair. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that I'm tender-headed or I have a sensitive scalp. So, like, all these factors have helped me get where I am today.
Okay. So you just, like, you're answering so many questions that I've already written down that you're just like, boom, boom, boom. Because I've been playing. I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to try different updos for January. And I've been like, I've been doing all these. I'm like, I just learned how to do this updo. I'm like so excited about it. But I'm like, shoot, man.
It's cute. And I want to be there. But I just know, like, I don't like the feeling of, like, tension on my scalp. Like, sometimes when pineapple is too tight, I get a headache. And I have to take it out. So, yeah, it's just, there's a lot of sensitivity. And I feel like me just leaving my hair alone sometimes is super beneficial.
Okay. I was asked this in an interview the other day, and I did not know what to say. So I'm going to ask you, and I want to see what you would say. I feel like with, like, Black women, textured hair, or maybe just anybody, possibly, no matter the color or the texture, maybe, but I feel like there's a lot of emotion tied with our hair. Like, people going in to do big chops, or even, like, other people handling our hair. I feel like there's a lot of things tied to that, and it feels so personal. It feels – why do you think that is?
I feel like there are a lot of cultures who look at hair as, like, they use their hair to honor their ancestors. And I feel like that's something that very much can come into play. I remember.
That's so deep.
I remember when I did have my perm, just like an aunt in my family telling me, like, when you go for this job interview, make sure your hair is straightened, make sure it's down, make sure it's behind your ear so you have a good view of your face. So certain things like that, that's, I do feel like a person, personally, like, I am tied to my hair. When I did do my transition, I knew that transition was the way that I wanted to go. I knew that I wasn't going to big chop because I did have attachment to my hair. Like, I made it known to, like, my friends and the people around me, like, I'm not cutting off my ends until, like, make a full ponytail. Because for most of my life, I had, what did I say, bra strap length hair. And I knew that going through that length change along with the texture change, that would have been too much for me. And I think that it's just a part of knowing who you are as a person and what works for you. But for Black women, there's definitely attachment to our hair. And I think it has a lot to do with, like, our culture.
Oh my goodness. When you drop that bomb, it's like honoring our ancestors. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do my hair every day. I'm about to wrap up. I'm so happy to talk to you. I feel so inspired. I'm like, I know that, like, this is for my podcast, whatever, but I'm just like, girl, I know that there's already changes that I want to make. I'm like, oh my goodness, let me try this. Okay, I'm not gonna do this anymore. Maybe I'll eat less meat tonight. Like, but before I go, I would like to ask you, is there anything that you would like to say that I didn't ask you? And or is there any advice that you would give to somebody who's either trying to get their confidence up to rock their natural hair, or anyone who's newly natural?
Yeah, for sure. I would say anyone who is about to embark on the natural hair journey or has recently started it. It's a long journey. It requires patience. Don't have a standard for what your hair needs to be or what it needs to look like when you just start out. Let your hair do its thing. Learn about your hair. Try new things. And then just let your hair be. Your hair is, it grows directly from your scalp. It's beautiful. just have, take time with it as you would anything else. Like, it's like a baby, like, just see what it likes. And then, yeah, be patient and best of luck to all of you. And you never know where you could end up. You're struggling with your twist out one day, and the next day you have the largest afro in the world. So trust the process. Oh my gosh.
Y'all, Simone Imani, thank you so much for joining us. And also, I say us, it's really just me right now in this closet. Also, I'm like, let me go and find my nearest pink lip, because your lip is like, I'm like, oh my goodness, can I please be you when I grow up? You are so beautiful. Thank you.
I normally do like a nude lip when I do like any on screen, but I'm like, I have a leopard, and what better to pair with leopard than like a red lip? So I did this for you, Felicia.
Oh my gosh. And because we don't have masks on, because we're in our own homes. Right. So let's, yes. Thank you, girlfriend.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. I'll see ya.
Thank you so much.
There's no way I could close out Black History Month without airing this episode with Simone Imani. She is the freaking bomb.com. Please follow her on Instagram at Simone Rel Bess. That's SimoneRellBess. Y'all, world record. Guinness Book of World Record for the largest afro. I was so inspired while making this episode. I'm like, even if I never share this, this one might just be for me. But I'm so glad that I could share it with all of you guys. I still can't get over hairspray. Oh my gosh. You guys, show her some love. I'll probably be listening to this one on repeat for a while. Shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Full version is available with me singing it somewhere like iTunes or something. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode. Colin, you the bomb. You the best. And shout out to all you guys for listening. Thank you for like listening and sharing and talking about this podcast. It means so much to me. And when you guys reach out and have questions or comments, it really does touch and warm my whole heart. And I try to get back to everybody. So feel free to slide into them DMs at Salisha Thomas, honey. Oh no, it's just at Salisha Thomas. And then I was saying honey to you. Okay. Anyway, love you so much. If you haven't already, rate, review, follow us on Patreon, and happy Black History Month, y'all. Thanks for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas!
12 women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.